What up, what up? Welcome to the 1528 podcast, episode 12. This is Dre. This is my last of my group of four times hosting the episode. So we're going to try to make it a good one. This was fun. I can't wait to kick it off to BJ next for his next group. But before we do, we're going to go ahead and get it into this episode. But first, fellas, what's been good, man? How's the last week been?
We've been waiting for another hour. Let's go.
What's up?
Hour to stay at least. Could be right. Says the nigga that was late on top of us already starting late.
We're going to put you in 45 minutes, and I'm going to be 45 minutes late.
And when I got here, ready. And when I got here, I was ready.
And then I'm going to say it's because I was walking my dog for an hour and a half.
Right.
Dang.
Yeah. You walked that nigga to Vegas?
Right.
All right, what's the first question?
The first question is, what y'all do over the last week?
Man,
anything exciting?
I went and saw Grandma on Sunday. Went to lunch or dinner because I knew
hey,
I wasn't
going
to see her
for
Mother's Day. So went down there, hung out with some friends, had a little bit too much fun, but it was always fun. So, you know, I'm going to go on a.
That's another reason why we were late today.
A drinking high. Awesome. No, I was ready.
No, he's talking about your. Your excessive alcohol leading to you needing to step away from your computer for a couple times before the show started.
Why you put my business in the street, though?
I'm about to say, could it comment?
Right. We weren't, but then you denied it, so we had to clear the air for a second.
It is a podcast. We're here to talk, man.
You know, me and JT was going to put that on the show, and then Dre said no, and then look who put it on the show.
We're going to talk about it here.
No. We can talk about it. We're not going to just have the on air.
That would have been amazing.
Hey, man.
Guess anyone players fuck up too. Moore.
Right.
Yeah. Hear me throwing up in the background.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Let
BJ talk. Somebody help this man. Yeah, and everybody knew BJ was drunk from his series of Facebook posts, so this isn't going to come as a surprise to anybody that follows us on social media. Oh, man. But story for another day.
BJ get a whole circle around him on social media. What's wrong with BJ? It's going to be okay.
Right.
Man.
Public service announcements.
Free therapy and shit.
Man.
Free counseling via Facebook replies.
Bet not the same.
Yeah, I got out and I saw family, too. I actually got to make it back to Cleveland. I landed about 2 hours ago, and I've been stuck in traffic ever since until damn near right before we got on air. But it was good to see everybody. JT, say it. Anything interesting? Anything exciting?
I miss Derby.
I haven't been Derby in so long. It's been so long. Since Derby 98.
3 years, too.
that was Derby for real. I've been working like crazy. It's been a crazy couple of weeks at work. So it's been pushing out those projects.
Yeah, my work's been pretty easy. They haven't really sweated me for nothing.
Right, Tommy.
Must be nice. Right.
For real, Tommy. Me.
Yeah. Can't complain. Yeah.
Did y'all even watch the race?
I did. I walked in the house on accident when it was first kicking off. I didn't even know the Derby was starting. I had totally forgot we were out and about, and then I walked in and it was on. So I actually saw the whole thing.
Gotcha,
I didn't get to bet nothing this year though, so there's that. Bastards. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into it because clearly JT ain't do nothing. He's just ready to go to sleep tonight. So as you guys all know that we are coming up on Mother's Day weekend. We're recording this on Tuesday and Mother's Day is the following Sunday. So we wanted to go ahead and actually dedicate this time in this episode to our mom, to all the moms out there, to the aspiring moms in the future. This episode is for y'all. So we had a couple questions that we kind of want to dive into. First question, fellas. What was your relationship like with your mother growing up, and how did that actually develop and evolve over time?
Man.
I'll step in. To be honest, growing up, about 7/8 of as a mama's boy, to be honest, my mom was my best friend growing up.
Oh, you said 7/8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you said. Okay.
Yeah. To be honest, all my early, you know, concerts and functions and events, you know, I went to those with my mom. And, you know, from Sesame Street on Ice, Mickey Mouse on Ice, all them little joints, the He-Man and She-Ra tour concert, that was a joint, man. I appreciate those. You know, I did most of those things, if not all those things, with my mom. And so, you know, if there was an event or function, you know, that I needed to go to, I'd be right there with her. And over time, you know, those things definitely change as I go to concerts and stuff, you know what I'm saying, with my older friends. But, you know, I think I can't say I grew up with my mom in the sense of, like, watching her mature, in a sense, because I think she's always been a consistent person, in a way. I think she's definitely gotten a little bit more snappy in her older age, which is hilarious. But I think our relationship has changed, in a sense. I've never been the type of kid who always called home to report back and be like, oh, this is what's going on in my life, this, that, and the third, you know what I'm saying, all the time. And I was thinking about that maybe like a month ago. I was like, all right, I probably need to do heck a lot more communicating just on my end, because I know my uncle calls my grandmother maybe every day. And I was like, that's probably something that I need to start doing. Just, you know what I'm saying, like, hey, what's going on? How are things? Yada, yada, stuff like that, a couple of updates. You know, let her give her fair warning when she's about to be a grandmother, stuff like that, you know. So I just, you know,
just right quick.
But yeah, you know, I think things have changed, and I think I need to communicate more. I think that's all it is. Like, everything's been absolutely great. I think, my mom has seen a lot of my changes and has adjusted to some of my changes as just growing up. You know, I'm my mom's only child, so, like, there's a moment where she had to literally, you know, let go of those particular types of, you know, parenting points. And so, yeah, I think it may be, like, just white kids that have moments where they don't get along with their folks. I've never had any of those moments.
That you don't.
It's not just a white.
You always got along.
I don't.
With
I'm not.
Always got along with your
mom. I don't know any
black people.
I've always got along with my mom.
Black kids don't have feelings.
Always.
Or emotions.
Well, I mean, not even that. Like, I've never not liked my mom. Like, I know nobody of color, I should say, then, that has, you know, not liked their mom. Like, that's not a thing in my...
Like, as a teenager?
So
you mean, like, for your whole life? Like, as
never.
An adult? No. So, as a teenager...
No, I just know. Like, I know people that, as teens, probably... Never.
That's cool.
If it was anything, it was just because, like, she put me on a punishment that I probably deserved anyway. You know what I'm
Boom.
Saying? But after being mad because I didn't make it to the function, that, you know, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I know some people that don't rock with their moms at all.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Black people,
I hate
right?
that. No, that, not my story, man. So, yeah.
And that's good. It is. We're not saying you shouldn't like your mom.
Yeah, right.
It does happen.
Go pick a fight today. Like,
right.
Right. Yeah, I think.
But are you trying to tell us something? Do you have an aspiring mother out there?
Boom.
Right. Are you making somebody a first-time celebrant of this holiday? You muted yourself.
Whoa.
You got to need me to unmute her?
So, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
So.
No one heard anything you said.
Oh, that was intentional. well Well played. Well played, sir. Well played. Oh, man. What the rest of y'all got? Because JT clearly ain't serving up nothing on that topic.
Man.
I think for me, like, growing up, my relationship was, like, just different. It was just different with my mom. She, like, who she was to me, right? I mean, I know my mom loved me. I know she took good care of me. She always take good care of me. But it was kind of like, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble by her. You know what I'm saying? So as a kid, I'm just trying to get out the way so I don't get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I just kind of like got to know her as the disciplinarian. And so our relationship was more so like, okay, let me go out here and not get in trouble and make her proud. You know, like, when I go play basketball, I go play football, or wherever I'm out here in the streets doing, I'm not doing anything that's not going to make her proud. You know what I'm saying? Like, not saying I ain't getting a little trouble here and there, but I wasn't finna go to jail for it or nothing. I wasn't about to, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't on no crazy stuff, but it's just, I just wanted to go out and do what I know she stood for. You know, because, like, my biggest thing with my mom growing up is, like, you always repeating yourself. Like, I know your rules. I know your expectations. I know everything. And it's like whenever you get in trouble, she would just repeat all those things. And sometimes she repeat those things while she's giving you a whooping. And it's just a lot to repeat while you're getting a whooping.
Whoop your kids.
You know.
Whoop your kids, people.
Man, don't whoop your kids. That is such an unpleasant experience.
Team Kerr Franklin.
Man. Absolutely.
So growing up, we just didn't, you know, I didn't sit around too much and have conversations with my mom like that. I mean, she'd tell me she was proud of me when she would come to the games and I was a starter, you know, especially when we went state ML back in high school. You know, it's just, you know, little moments back there growing up, you know, we kind of hung out. Now it's evolved to where it's like, okay, we got to be like people. Like what? Like friends? Like, you know, like what? Like, how you do, mother, daughter, mother, son? That's crazy. Yeah, how do you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Are you trying to tell us something?
Everybody calm down. Everybody calm all the way down.
Oh, God.
Right. Nah, but you know what I'm saying? It's just, so now it's good because I'm getting to know how to be in a relationship with her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. We're in a good place. We're in a good place now. We can talk about things we haven't been able to talk about before. She knows me. She knows me more than she's probably ever known me before. I know her more than I've ever known her before, you know? So just really getting to know each other as people now, that we're adults and, we're kind of living our lives. You just, let's get to know each other as people. Like, we're making decisions. We're doing different things. Like, but she's so, my mom's so wise, though. My mom's so wise. I just love to be able to just run some. I don't like what she says all the time, because, man, but it'd be real. It's real. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, cool. I needed that, but, man, talk to me like that.
Oh, you don't like what she says because she'd be right. Huh?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's tough love, you know, in that way. But, yeah, I love it.
Gotcha. All right. For me, my relationship with my mom growing up, it was solid. My mom had me at 19, so we were both kids, obviously, and she made kid mistakes, you know, just learning how to care for somebody else. And I mean, things was good for 4 years, and AJ came. No, just playing.
Damn AJ.
You know what I'm saying? I was the only kid. No. But I would say this, like, me and my mom for a long time, we grew up together in certain aspects. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, so that was some of that wise stability that I needed. And, you know, my mom was young, so she was still going out. She was still doing what young people do. I will say that I learned to worry early as a kid, just from some of the stuff my mom.
In what context?
Just like worrying if something happened to my mom or if she was okay.
Worrying about her.
Worrying about her, yes. And I think I know that's definitely affected my development in the sense of just like being stressed out and worrying about things that kids aren't supposed to worry about or shouldn't have to worry about. You know, there were times where, well, I guess full disclosure, my mom at one point was a crackhead at one point. And as I know, that's a lot of stuff people don't know about me because you can never tell now that she's been in recovery for over 30 years. She got saved and all of that. But you talk about someone who was actually affected by the crack epidemic, you're looking at them. So when I say worrying about my mom, it's like if I wake up in the middle of the night and she's not there. Or, you know, they have parties and be downstairs, but I couldn't come downstairs. And it got to a point where, like, even though I was like 5, 6, you still, I think people take for granted on how perceptive kids can be and when they know something's just not right. Not exactly, you don't know exactly what it is, but you know something's not right. So that's part of the reason I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up. And then as far as like how this has helped, how our relationship has developed over time, it's like we're really good friends. There's some things that I don't talk about with her. Like her and AJ's relationship, they're like friends. They be talking about sex and all that type of stuff. I'm like, Mama, I will hang up on you. So we're not about to have this conversation.
I'll go down that road.
Right. What? Don't even do it. Yeah. We definitely, we're really close. We talk a decent amount a month, you know what I'm saying? Text each other, call just to check up on her. But me and my mom are really close in almost to the fact that, like, if we get into a bad argument, I almost always get sick afterwards. It's crazy. It's like if we get into a really bad fight 2 or 3 days later, I'm physically ill. You know, and it's crazy because, like, your parents do, when they become of responsible thought process, they will do everything they can to make sure you're successful, make sure you're happy. You know, when I went to South Africa, my mom, did barbecue dinners and did everything possible to raise that money. And she made it happen, you know. So now over time, we're good. We can talk about just about anything. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Gotcha. In my case, I'm on the opposite spectrum of like the age group as BJ. I was the youngest of my mom's 3 kids. So with BJ, his mom was kind of learning how to parent and growing and kind of evolving as a parent. Where my mom was exhausted and over it. So when I was born, my mom was, I want to say, 32-ish. Had her first kid, my brother Marcus, at 22. So it's a 10-year gap there. And I got a lot different of an upbringing than both of my brothers did. My oldest brother, when my mom had him, my parents were young. My dad was still going through college. she was working to put my dad through college. So a lot of the parenting, a lot of that weight kind of got picked up by our family members because she was working her ass off to put him through school and he was in school. So it was a real struggle fest for them at times. And we come from a very, I wouldn't say strict family, but a very, a family real strong sense of morals and right and wrong. And, you know, you don't do this, you just don't do that and whatnot. So it was a lot of her finding out what her parenting style was compared to the traditional African-American Southern upbringing that they grew up with. But with my middle brother, who's a year and a half older than me, he just fucking blew shit up and wore her out. He tested every situation possible. So by the time she gets to me, Anthony and exhausted her so much, she just like, fuck it, you gonna do whatever you gonna do. I ain't putting up no more fights. But I also saw the ass whoopings my brother got, so it kind of stopped me from going down that road. But my mom was just a totally different person with me because she was also a lot more, I guess, calm in nature. She wasn't that young, vibrant 22-year-old. She was the vibrant 32-year-old, but it was just a different level of maturity that she had. And it was cool because I guess I got the finished product while they spent all the time baking, helping my mom rise in the oven. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And like over time, our relationship really grew a lot, especially when we got towards like my early high school years. My oldest brother was off to college, and just like when I left the college, he never came home really. A couple days for the holidays, and that was it. My other brother, once he got of age to like drive, he was working all the time. Or if he wasn't working, he was out kicking it. So I spent a lot of like one-on-one time with my mom those later years of high school. And I was just always the one who would just sit there and listen to her, kind of. So I learned a lot from her. She taught me how to cook. For a while, I was a really good singer until my voice cracked, because she would put me through her coaching lessons that she would do for the church. I learned piano, learned a lot of cool shit through my mom that I've abandoned since, except for cooking. I still love cooking. that was really cool. And you know, some of the other stuff we'll get into a little bit later, but just as time kind of grew, our relationship changed because I've always been the most accessible of my brothers in terms of communicating. If anybody knows me and my family, out of the three of us, none of us are easy to reach or get to for the most part, but I've always been the most accessible out of all of us. So if she needed something, if she just needed to talk to somebody, if there was a message that needed to be passed, she could usually expect that I would be the one to hear back from first. So I got to, you know, have a lot of cool conversations with her, adult conversations. I was also the one that, like, when she got in retirement years, once Anthony left Cleveland, because after college he moved back home, but once he left for Savannah, Georgia, she was an empty nester. And I was really the only one that came home a lot. So when I would come home, you know, me and her would get to bond as an adult, which was pretty cool. So that's kind of like been like our development over time. And I got to know my mom a lot more in those last maybe 10 years or so, just as an adult, which was real cool. Got some insights, learned a lot about who I am, who, like, family history, like why she made us do certain things that we weren't privy to an explanation on as kids. Because shut the fuck up, y'all kids, just do what I say. So it was cool kind of getting that kind of insight.
Nice. Yeah. It's funny. feel like I've grown into this switching of being able to tell my mother, like, when she needs to, like, chill out and calm down. I can do that now. Because at first, of course, growing up, you can't say, like, lady, calm down. Like, no, it doesn't happen.
Pick yourself up off the floor.
Right, absolutely. Because I remember not too long ago, like, my mom was going off about something. And I think we went somewhere, and I was like, all right, mama, when we go in there, X, Y, Z.
Oh, I've done that before. This. I did that too.
Yeah, I was like, look, all right, when we go in here, don't touch nothing.
Hey, JT, I went on Marco Polo because we have a group on there with my siblings. I went and I said, yo, we about to go in here in this store. And if this woman says anything other than what mama want her to say, it's going down. I'm going to be back on here in a minute.
Yeah. It's funny. I'd be able to, like, honestly see when she's – because my grandmother, she's a firecracker, and I can tell my mother's on a trajectory of being the same firecracker. And so I'm just trying to, if I can, tailor it off a little bit so it won't be as bad. And, you know, I'm doing a horrible job at it. But, you know, it's absolutely funny to be able to check her every once in a while. Yeah. In a son kind of way, with respect.
Yeah, so I had a lot of ability to do that for – with my mom, personally, because she asked me to, because she was a talker, so she kind of got me in the habit of being like, okay, let me know if I'm talking too much. Let me know if I'm talking too much, because if you didn't tell her, she would just fucking go. she was literally talking until she fell asleep. Mm-hmm. So I had to be like, cool. All right, mom, that's enough. Or, as BJ and Will would tell you, if I ever have visitors, I would just dip and let them get it, because I knew they would never tell her stop. So they'd be talking to my mom, and then I'd just leave.
And they'd be stuck. He was so smooth with it, too. He'd just get up, start doing shit, and just literally leave the apartment. Like, what the fuck? I got to go to work. What?
Oh, no, I'll talk about the visit to Cleveland when she cornered y'all in the living room, and I literally just left the house. I got in the car.
Oh, yeah. That was some bullshit, too.
I got back hours later. She was still talking. I learned to tell her to, all right, that's enough talking. And then that kind of grew into being a lot, being blunt about whatever I need to talk to my mom about, respectfully, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. You got to throw that in there.
That's so funny. Yeah. I told my mom, like, I think I miscommunicated it or didn't communicate as well as I could have. But I said, mom, we need to, let's be friends. Like, let's learn how to be, you know, friends. Because at this point, you know, man, mom was like, oh, ho, you want to be friends? I was like, never mind, mom, you don't get it.
Just fuck your friendship, nigga. I raised you.
I ain't one of your little friends now.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's your little podcast.
It's your little podcast. Let me clean this kitchen up real quick.
You're right.
Y'all be alright.
Hey,
knock on wood. We still got half episode.
So,
she's not even here.
I guess Dre kind of alluded to it, but Cedric, did you notice the evolution of your parents or your mom's parenting style or whatever between you and Darren and then your little sisters? Because I know Diamond and AJ. They got a different mom than I did. I got the young one that was still out wilding out, still learning and stuff like that. AJ got some of that too, but then, you know, her maturation was really gone. Diamond, man, she got the best version. You know what I'm saying? Just like already know what to say. Nicer. Yeah, Diamond almost never got whoopings.
That's what I'm saying. The way you sound right now is exactly how my oldest brother sound talking about my mom. Like, when we say she did this and she did that, she was like, wait, what? Who?
Right.
No. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did all that.
No, I didn't get that one. My baby sister got that one. She got that mom that was, like, you know, really different. I didn't kick it at home very much. So I was always out hooping or, you know what I'm saying, I worked at Kentucky Kingdom, Six Flags, you know, that's everybody's first job, you know what I'm saying? You know, so
that's
I was out kicking it. I was just always out because like I said, like I didn't like the rules in the house. She always said, if you don't like my rules, get out. So I'd be like, in a row. Like, I don't like it. So I hate it here. You know? so I don't know. She could have been horrible at home. But I was just like, hey, Mom, I'm about to go with my friends. She's like, all right, cool, call me. If I paid you, you better call me. All right. Like, oh, nice. You know. It was, but, I mean, you know, it was certain things that she made us, you know. Plus, I'm in the middle, so it's not like I got a younger. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the middle. So, you know, we had to go to church. We had to go to school. We had to, you know what I'm saying, had to do all them chores. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. Everything. Just little slaves. That's what.
Right.
Yeah, so. Mm. No, I didn't get young, hip, cool mom. I got, I'm going to beat you, Mom. That's what.
Oh, don't get it twisted. Our mom was still strict because she still had old Southern rules. Like, we couldn't go in other people's houses.
Man.
We couldn't do sleepovers.
Man.
So it was a lot that we couldn't do, but I was able to do a lot more than my older brothers. Even without being able to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, she was super, super strict.
I feel better now because I couldn't do those things either. And I always felt like it was just my folks that wouldn't let me do that stuff.
It was so frustrating. Everybody else having sleepovers.
Yep. Yeah, that's
everybody else going over other people's houses and playing video games. It was like, if you didn't live on my block, it was a wrap. And two, it was maybe two houses on my block where I was able to do that on purpose versus me just sneaking and doing it. And one of them was literally right next door to me.
Man, it's crazy how
so she could always just look through the window and see what the fuck we were doing.
Outside is so different than than us growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Deucey's not going to be outside like we were outside. You know what I'm saying? He's you know, he's probably going to be a different.
The yard with all the bikes.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Just running down the street, streetlights, come on, everybody going home. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a totally different outside.
Scary and like roaches.
Man.
But, yeah, I was talking about that. I was talking about that last weekend, though. Well, actually, this weekend, I went to one of my little cousins, Sierra's son. Yeah, Sierra's son had a football game on Sunday. And we were over there, and I was like, wait. All right, so Aiden's playing football. What about the cousins, like, a little bit above him? And everybody's like, oh, no. Nah. Like, their generation is doing sports, like him and his sisters. He plays football. She plays soccer. My other little cousin, I think he's, like, a year or two younger than Aiden. He's playing soccer. But all the ones in the middle, it was video games, iPad, iPod, and that was it. So they were never into sports, though. So maybe sports and maybe getting away from the computer is making a comeback now that parents are becoming a lot more cognizant of, like, screen time and, like, forcing their kids to go out more. Because I think it was just something that caught people off guard. And it was just like, oh, they're happy when they're doing this. Let them do it as much as they want. But now I at least hope that kids are getting out more and actually doing the outdoorsy stuff that really, really made us kids and taught us so much about everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think
kids there's a difference though, because I think like organized sports is one thing versus going to the park with your friends to play sports. You know what I'm saying? Like there's
I just think that outside interaction with other kids is what is lacking.
Yeah, I think the only thing
well, I conversation that, for another day, but yeah.
Only thing I wish I had for Deucey that is just that community that we're talking about, that sense of community of your friends that you go out with. I mean, you may see the same kids at the park, and that's cool. The kids you go to school with, and the kids that you may see at church, but like those kids you go outside, my outside friends. You know what I'm saying? Those are special group people, and they're not even your best friends. They're just people. They're outside friends. You know what I'm saying?
Their proximity.
But we'll see, though. I mean, we'll see how times change. You know, history always repeats itself. Anyway, back to moms.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually a good time. We'll go ahead and jump to commercial, and we got a couple more questions on the other side of the breaks. Shout out to moms. We're going to be back in a second. Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Dre coming into you again from the 1528 podcast. Just wanted to say thank you for everybody that submitted a request for the guest form for the 1528 podcast. I'm really excited to get those rolling in, but we definitely want more. As we close out this season, we're looking to do some really cool things with the guest hosts, with the people that might potentially be on the show. Hell, we might even bring y'all in for the relationship episode or some of the other ones that we do this season or early next season. So go ahead, fill out that form. Let us know what's going on. If you're interested, let us know your best contact information and, you know, what you can potentially bring to the show so we can kind of have a conversation and kind of fill up those slots as we get them opening. So thanks again. The guest form is on the link right here. Click the link below. Or click the link on our link tree, which will be on our website, on our YouTube page, as well as our Instagram and our Facebook profiles. Thanks. Hey, everybody. Real quick, before we get back to the show, just wanted to give you a quick snippet of the interview that I've done with head basketball coach of the illustrious Kentucky State University Thoroughbreds men's basketball team, Coach Jamal Jackson. Check it out here. We're going to give you about 5 minutes, but the full interview is actually going to be on our YouTube channel for you guys to see in its entirety. With Bluefield, it was basically like it happened overnight kind of a thing, right?
I got the job. Like I said, I was at Stillman. We were, you know, going through conditioning and getting ready for a season. I got the job October 11th. They told me I got the job. So, you know, we start in D2, we start practice on October 15th. So, I left, you know, my wife and my son, they stayed in Tuscaloosa because I got the job on an interim basis. So they stayed in Tuscaloosa. I went up to Bluefield, got there October 14th, which was a Friday. I had my first team meeting that night. It's four guys on the team. Four guys in my first team meeting. So I was just collecting guys from all campuses if they wanted to play basketball. So we had our first practice that Saturday morning. So, you know, ended up, you know, getting the job. In April, I was named, given the interim tag was removed, and I got that job. We were there in Tuscaloosa for 5 years.
Bluefield.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bluefield. We were there for 5 years. A lot of people don't know anything about Bluefield State. It's an HBCU in Southern West Virginia. It's about 8% black, though. 8% black student population. But, you know, they have a very strong history there at in Bluefield and Bluefield State College. So actually now they just added 11 or 12 sports. So they're really trying to, you know, build that program up. But every year we were there in Bluefield, we won more games than the previous year. And actually our last season, we won the most games since like 1991 or 92. So we did really, really well there. So fast forward on to 2016, this job here at Kentucky State came open around that spring, interviewed here and got the job here in 2016 and been here ever since, you know, trying to compete for a SIAC championship.
Yeah, we was definitely all geeked when we found out you was going back home to coach.
Nothing like it, man.
He's like, yeah, my boy, Maul, the coach. This is crazy.
How did that feel, your first game as the head coach of your alma mater?
Yeah, I was just trying to win a basketball game. You know, at the press conference, that was pretty emotional and stuff like that. But once the press conference was over, it was just about business and you know, trying to compete to win basketball games. Press conference and things like that were pretty emotional.
Well, switching topics a little bit, something more timely. For the last year, almost a year and a half now, we've been dealing with the pandemic, COVID-19. And I remember last year, was it? COVID hit towards the end of the season, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. We played our Central State game I want to say late, it's like the 21st or 22nd of February last year.
That's the picture in the background, by the way. Yeah. This was at the Central State game. A little handsome guy right there. You see him.
That was an exciting game, too. But I want to say after that game was on a Saturday. We had practice on Monday, and I was very sick on Monday. So I got very sick on Monday. So I was sick for about a week. So I said I missed practice a lot that week. I came back to practice Friday and Saturday, and we left for the conference tournament on Sunday. And I remember going into the hotel and reading in the newspaper. That's when they started talking about COVID, the end of last February. So I'm thinking we played in conference tournament. And when we got back is when, you know, the NBA started shutting down and different things started shutting down beginning of March of last year. So I think I may have, you know, as sick as I was last February, I even went to the school nurse here. She and did a test. She said, you have a virus, but it's not the flu. So I'm thinking, here we didn't even have a COVID test yet. So I'm wondering, I really think that I had it at the end of February. So I probably got it from somebody at that Central State game.
Man, that's crazy. I mean, given how many people it was, it's a real good chance he did, but that's wild. But how has the last year been dealing with the pandemic and in terms of like coaching the players, but also like recruiting? Recruiting is a big aspect of your job, and a lot of it's on the road. I know you would regularly do trips up here around the spring, but I'm assuming a lot of that stuff got canceled. How's that transition been?
Well, last April, April into May, once we really saw how serious this was, I remember telling my assistant coach then, you know, we're going to really have to, you know, keep these guys engaged throughout this summer and going into the fall, because we may not even play next year. So we're going to have to be real creative. Luckily, you know, my assistant, Sean Smith, he does a really good job staying in touch with guys and recruiting. So we always recruit a year or two ahead. So we had a lot of guys who, you know, even though we weren't able to get on the road last year to these high school tournaments and JUCO postseason tournaments, we had seen a lot of kids, and we had our list of guys we were going after. They just weren't able to take visits onto campus. So, you know, we were lucky in that aspect, but we knew last spring and going into the summer, it was going to be different, and we really had to do a good job of being creative and trying our best to keep our guys engaged. And then it was really tough this fall because we weren't able to do anything here on campus. You know, a lot of our guys were members of, you know, fitness centers, and they found gyms around here in Frankfurt, but we weren't able to really do anything with them until like early December. So that made it real tough. And then going into the season, we had to play a few games. And once we finally got rolling, we had one of our players had a positive test. So, everybody had to quarantine for 2 weeks according to our school and state rules. So we missed four games during those 2 weeks. And I figured, you know, after 2 weeks of doing nothing, it was going to be too tough to come back and within, you know, 4 or 5 days, get back in playing shape. So we just, you know, ended the season then. And, you know, we have everybody coming back. And then this recruiting has been it's been very unique this postseason, because the NCAA is, you know, giving all these players from this past season their year back. And then I think they vote this week or next week as far as, you know, when kids transfer, not making them sit out at the D1 level, but also with these guys who are getting this year back, there's so many. Last I checked, it was like 4,450 basketball players transferring on the portal. So we're getting 50 to 100 emails every day from our high school kids. Then you got, you know, junior college guys. Then you have the four-year guys. So we're, you know,
right now, your scholarships didn't change at all, right?
Nah, scholarships didn't change. Yeah, we're hoping. I got my fingers crossed right now. So we're hoping, because a lot of these guys are pretty good. We've never got this many, you know, there's a lot of D1 transfers contacting us and looking to come here.
All right, everybody, don't forget, go to our YouTube or our IG page, check out the full video. We talk about a lot of things in there, including his coaching journey, what it's been like coaching through COVID, and he gives advice for people who want to be coaches in the future, or even parents who actually have kids that are considering a collegiate career in sports, and how to kind of help you guys get to the next level, or whatever the next stages might be for you guys as parents and your kids. Thanks so much, and we're going to go ahead and jump back into the Mother's Day episode. All right, y'all, welcome back to the second half of the Mother's Day tribute episode. We're going to go ahead and get right back into it. And, fellas, the second question that we have here is, what would you say is the biggest and or more most important lesson that you learned from your mother?
Learned. For me, I think it was the hustle. My mom, she was a hustler. Like, whether it's working two jobs back then, or she was a seamstress, so she was always sewing to make ends meet. Or to make extra, and just the drive. And honestly, she taught me specifically, my brother and sister too, but I saw her claw her way out of the worst time of her life. So just knowing that anything is possible with hard work and obviously the grace of God also, and seeing her grow and change her life for her kids was just one of the reasons she's one of my heroes. You know, my dad, he had substance abuse problems and, you know, some alcohol problems and stuff like that. That kept him out of my life sometimes, but I always told my mom, you changed for us. You did what you were supposed to do. Yeah, you made that mistake, but you changed for us and he didn't. And that's why there's such a difference of respect at the time that I had for her. So just her hustle and her drive. There were times where she would work all day, come home, study, and I would find her the next morning sleeping on her book because she had to study for her nursing stuff. So the next morning I'm getting ready for, or maybe even the middle of the night, I have to go wake her up, like, go to bed, mama, you know. So just seeing that lets me know I can make it through anything. So
yeah, that's real. Moms are definitely still hustling and grinding. Mm-hmm. With the dresses, the clothes, all of that.
Right. Yeah.
The custom 1528 gear when we pull up in the RV. And shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that mom gave me is just to, she taught it in her way. So I'm gonna use modern language, but it's probably something else old school. But she just kind of taught me to just be able to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, and the lessons I learned were lessons toward that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she may not have called, I'm trying to teach my son self-reliance and resilience and all that, but just as far as, like, her big thing was like, listen, you going to school. Like, education was huge for her. She's like, you never know what you got to do with it. You never know what's going to come in handy, but you're going to at least go. You're going to at least know what's going on. You're going to at least, you know, have the opportunity to further your life with education, whether you use it or not, you have the opportunity to. And she's like, if you keep going, something's going to stick. You know, if you keep going to school, you keep learning in life, in school, wherever, you keep learning, something's going to stick. You know, you just got to keep showing up. And so these little lesson she taught me how to like keep showing up. Like keep showing up. If you if it's hard, if you fall short sometimes, just keep showing up. Like it's gonna work itself out. It's gonna get better. You gotta just keep showing up and doing the best you can. And then she taught me how to like how to slow down a little bit. Like so a few years ago when I moved back to Kentucky after I graduated from undergrad, moved back to Louisville. And she bought me a plant. Well, she bought me a plant over because she has all these plants in her house. Bought me this plant over, and she said, "Keep this alive for a year before you start dating. Like you can date if you keep this alive for a year." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And she's like, "It's gonna always have you. You're gonna always come home because you gotta take care of it. You know, you're not gonna be out for days at a time, just not coming home. It's gonna cause you to slow down and look around your house and take care of your house. And if you can keep this alive, then." You know, you have the patience to keep a relationship alive, you know, just to give it what it takes, you know, to make the room, to make it happen. And I was like, all right, best. So let's get this plant. You know what I'm saying? And I kept it alive for a couple years before, you know, whatever. But
that's nice. The duplicates that just, I would you know, purchased. That's nice.
You had a built-in excuse not to date anybody, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I
gotta
get this plant. Mama said I got to get this plant going, so... You know, I would. To this so that's just, and then, like I said, just, I don't know, just to take care of business. Take care of business. Like, you got, this is like, you know, grind and hustle, whatever. Just take care of business. You know it has to be done. Just make it happen.
That's what's up.
Probably the biggest, you know, some of the recurrent.
I think I'm learning my biggest and or most important lesson right now. I remember my freshman year of college, my mother moved from Louisville to Greensboro for a job. But before that, all my life, you know, she was in Louisville. And what I definitely say up underneath the family in a sense. And I think to see her move away for a little bit, I saw her grow from afar. Well, I lived there for a year, but like I got a chance to see her kind of like she developed this sense of independence that I had never really seen. Her and my aunt, like, you know what I'm saying, like peas in a pie, like they're always with each other, right? But to see her in a sense on her own, I got a chance to really see her kind of like just maneuver and just get out there. And I think now as she has moved back home to Louisville and definitely is a necessity there because the family dynamics are changing and people are getting older. So she's definitely there to be a part of the situation to help people, you know, the network of grocery shopping, taking people to doctor appointments and, you know, and that whole nine. And I've learned to be okay with venturing out. And that was moving to Florida, moving to DC, you know, hopefully in the next, you know, 8 to 12 months, you know, doing another move just to experience life and to, you know, just not being afraid to do the daggone thing, man. And, you know, I recognize that I feel like she stayed where she stayed because I was in school, I was growing up. And so she definitely had to be there. Right. But I've always felt like my mom probably could have necessarily, like, done other things and going on. You know, I remember there was a moment she was in law school, but things kind of got didn't continue and finish. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, in a sense, I've learned to complete my task, no matter how long it may take in that situation. And also, I just learned to, like, don't be afraid to just get up and go. And just, you know, go live your daggone life. And I remember I think it was Christmas. I had made the announcement to the family, like, probably the next year I might be moving to California or whatnot. And initially, I thought it would have been like, nah, don't do this, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Because my family can be very cautious when it comes to my moves. You know, don't necessarily want me to do too much or do too big of a thing. But they were definitely about it. And my mom was, you know, if you can do it, if you can go out there, be safe and take care of yourself, why not? You know, I told her what my dreams were and she was right there with it. And so I think it took until I became an adult to really, understand her as an adult and to, you know, learn that time is of the essence. Time will slip away really quickly. So you got to get where you want to go and be consistent about getting there. And so that's what I've learned from her.
Yeah,
hey, I'm sorry. I got to jump.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I got to jump back in because I'll be so remiss. Man, the most valuable lesson, honestly, out of all those things I named, my mom, I learned my faith from my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, she made sure I knew you pray. You ask God. You believe what you pray. If you're gonna do this thing, you do it right. Learn this word so you can live this word. You know, don't worry about people. Don't worry about institutions. Don't worry about organizations. Worry about this word. And so that's one thing. She made sure we was in church. If she didn't go, she made sure we went. Vacation Bible school, Sunday school, you know, just all singing in the youth choir. Also like that, she made sure that we had, that faith was a big part of whatever we did, you know, with the education, with taking care of the plant, whatever, like make sure you got God in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. With me, my answer is similar to JT's in a couple ways. I think I mentioned earlier this season, actually, how my mom wanted me to go away to school because they didn't let her go run track in college in California like she wanted to. So she was determined to get all of her kids out of Cleveland. We'll not get into her theories about Cleveland and how all that other shit, but she just wanted us to actually go out and have experiences outside of the neighborhoods that we knew. Like, aside from Warrensville and 108th and Union, I mean, that was my life growing up. So she wanted us to have more than that. She wanted us to experience more. She wanted to see more. I tell you guys all the time how segregated Cleveland is. So we didn't like experience a lot of cultures. We didn't experience anything outside of us. And she really, really strived to push the concept of finding and learning and getting, you know, access to that stuff as much as we could. So that was, of course, amazing and good to do and all of that stuff. And the other lesson, I laugh because this actually came up on a family call that we did on my mom's side of the family on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we went around and said we were thankful for it, but we also talked about one lesson that we learned from our parents. And it's kind of crazy, but funny, but to me, it's actually important. One thing my mom told me was to never want something if you can afford it. And even if you couldn't, just buy it and figure it out later. So in my life, I live where, okay, if I see something I want, if I got it, I'm not waiting on it because tomorrow's not promised. Who knows what can happen? When I have the money to actually buy what it is, I might not be in a position to enjoy it, whatever it might be. So if I see something I like, I get it. Hence the hundreds of bottles of bourbon that I have. Hence my collection and fascination with sneakers, all, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, it was that. And then it was also, I won't say it's a good habit, but my mom was the queen of overcharging cards and then figuring out how to pay for it later. So a lot of times, even if I don't have stuff, one of my things just in life is I have to find stuff that's challenging. When school got boring, I stopped going to classes, right? when work gets boring, I zone out and I start looking for other jobs. And in life, when I'm not like constantly pushing myself and finding different ways to motivate myself, because I'm one of those people where outside influences don't motivate me. Like, I can have a manager pep talk, I can do sales rallies, you know, you guys can say this and that, but it won't motivate me. I can only motivate myself. Right. So one thing that I learned how to do when I kind of got deeper into my sales role was I would make a huge purchase that I couldn't afford, knowing that if I didn't hit these crazy ass sales goals, I wouldn't be able to pay for what I just bought. So, I want to say the first year that I got season tickets, that when Brooklyn Nets moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn, I was living here, and a rep called me, and they were like, "Yeah, we can blah 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 blah, 4 tickets, 200 bo." I was like, "How much was it?" They said the price. I'm like, "I ain't got that." But I'm like, "I love basketball. This is their first season, so it's going to be live." They had just spent all this money on free agents. I was like, "Y'all got any kind of payment plans?" She was like, "Yeah, we could break it up over 3 months." I was like, "Oh, how much would it be over 3 months?" $3,000 to $4,000 a month. I did the math. I'm like, "How much do I need to sell to have an extra $3,000 or $4,000 a month just to make the payment?" And then I was like, "Fuck it, let's do it." So, like, shit like that is stuff that my mom unintentionally taught me how to do.
I don't think she was trying to teach you.
It was unintentional as hell. But I remember those Christmases when she's like, "I got an extra credit card and max that bitch out too, just so y'all can have this shit. So if y'all break it, I'm beating y'all asses," type shit. So I thought about those lessons. I learned those lessons, and out of all the things that stuck, some of the bad lessons like that stuck too.
Yeah.
And here we are to this day. Man. So yeah, it's not always the good lessons that stick.
It's on that carpe diem type
shit. But yeah,
oh, absolutely.
I'm about to say, like, yeah, a sense of adventure of going out, you know, challenging and get what you want, and figuring out how to pay for it later. It's bad credit, but you know,
I don't advise anyone else to do that. Dre has found this to work for him. And so, rock out.
And I'm one of those weird people who can't be motivated by any other outside influences, so I had to just come up with my own shit. So please find other ways to get motivated.
Right.
Let the pep talks work for you, okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, I built a career off of helping other people get motivated. Don't be like me. Kind of along the lines of, I guess, the lessons that, you know, your mother has taught all of us, just like kind of in whatever relevancy that you guys want to use it, with the lessons, with growing up, with the different ways they treated you, how has your actual relationship in any aspect with your mother impacted who you are now and how, you know, you act as an adult, how you carry yourself, how you treat people, any kind of part of that you guys want to touch?
I feel like I've learned to stop fucking with people that don't need to be fucked with anymore. Like, I feel like my mom has the ability to cut some of her friends off throughout the years. And I think I picked that up. And so that's kind of how I slowly, not saying like it's all the time, but I think I've started maneuvering the same way. You know, just seeing some people take advantage. I've seen, you know, people, you know, not necessarily, you know, being on the same page and just kind of being cool with that. And, you know, even to this day, my mama, you know, I ask about so-and-so and she was like, "No, we don't talk no more." And I'd be like, "Oh, okay, cool.
All right.
Oh, okay." But as I get older, I understand that now. But at the same time, I tell her, don't isolate yourself. Like, y'all too old not to be able to work it out, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you realize you don't have to put up with a lot of buffoonery. A lot of that's not necessary. And so I appreciate her and just watching her, that's impacted me like a little bit more than it should, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's real though.
Yeah, I think for me, the way our relationship has affected my life, and it's more so even now as an adult, of course, but it's just that act right, that act like you got some sense, especially after everything has been going crazy, you know what I'm saying? How you like watching your responses, you know, people for credit and say, oh, you got that in the military, because military, we call it military bearing, you know, maintain your military bearing. But I got that from my mom. It's like, you know, no matter what the situation looks like, keep your composure and act like you got some sense and figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Just work through whatever, you know, excuses, distractions, fears, insecurities, whatever, work through them. Mm. And just trust God. Like that, you know, that's what I got from being around my mom. Like our relationship, even now, you know, when she's out here, it's just, it kind of stirs up that. It stirs up those lessons I get from her that influences my life and how I should be viewing certain things. There's so many times I could have flown off the handle for certain things, but she's just like, no, just keep it in perspective. Just understand that God is doing something here. Like, God didn't just get you out here flailing, you know, on your own. And so, yeah, just, I guess that good center, that good balance. Cause man, I'm a trip. I could be a trip.
Man, this is the toned down version.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, me and BJ talk about beating people up and stuff like that. Like, I just, nobody needs to get hurt. No. Like, right. Nobody needs to, you know, police don't need to be calling anyone. Mm-hmm.
So what's funny is my mom, she taught all her kids that if you know you're going to get into a fight, you might as well hit first. It's like, you might, if you know you're about to get into a fight, you might as well steal off on the ass. Like, right. Like if you try to avoid it's inevitable. You might as well get the upper hand. So that was one of the things I learned from my dear mother.
Oh man.
But as far as like our relationship now,
you better not lose.
I think, right. Oh, you're going to get a whooping if you run from a fight, too.
Don't run.
What I've learned, I think my mom is just very blunt, but with tact. She don't pull any punches. She's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear or how she feels. And then sometimes it's like, all right, you know what, mom, I'm not about to have this conversation. But sometimes she says, I'm your mother and you're going to listen to this, and you listen to it, you know? But I think I got that from her because I'm probably a little more reserved than she can be at times. But, you know, I can be pretty blunt or pretty just a matter of fact about things. And I definitely got that from her. I definitely think that now that we're older and we both have grown and stuff like that, there are times where, you know, you grow up and you expect your parents to know everything or to lead you in the right directions and stuff like that. But now there are times where, like, my I don't give a fuck is so high that I have to tell her if she's talking about, you know, whether her and my brother aren't getting along or, you know, her and my sister, whatever it is, or it could be anybody. And I tell her, it's not your monkey, it's not your circus. Stop worrying about it. Like, they are grown, or whoever this other person you bitching about is grown. That don't have to be your worry. That don't have to be your stress. You know, so I tell her that all the time. It's not your monkey, it's not your circus, mom. Just relax. You can't control everything. Just, if they fuck up, they fuck up.
What if it is your mom, but it's, I mean, what if it is your monkey, but it's not your circus?
I don't leave it the fuck alone. You know, even, because...
I don't think you like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that. No, you just called me a monkey, nigga.
I mean, look at your nose.
It is my monkey, but that's not my... Oh.
Thank you for checking us out, the 1520 podcast.
This is what we're doing.
But I just love the fact that this nigga said, I don't give a fuck, it's so high. That cracked me up. I don't know if anybody else caught that, like, but that cracked me up.
BJ, what sign is your mom?
We're both Pisces.
Oh, okay.
Her birthday is
no bluntness.
a week.
I thought she may have been Aries.
Nah. But can so, yeah. But definitely like the things that have stuck with me, like I say yes, ma'am, and you know, sir, to people all the time, whether they're older or younger. That disrespect, how to treat a lady on a date, just all that stuff. Like she used to make me and my brother. She used to make me and my brother, like open the doors for our
blame
sister
her for that
and stuff. Hey,
don't blame that lady on. She is not here to defend herself.
I am Mr. Romance.
No, what happened was social media wasn't around when his mom was teaching him etiquette, so she left that part off of the equation. Because clearly this nigga went rogue.
Man, I am Mr. Romance. What are you talking about?
Chocolate sister, chocolate sister.
When it's time. When it's time.
Buddy.
But yeah, man. Yeah.
Have a good day.
Mom taught me a lot, and now I'm teaching her some things. Mm-hmm. And two. What about you, Dre?
I ain't gonna touch that.
Man, it was a lot. I'll start with the nice, sweet shit. As far as the moment I left my mom's house and went away to college, I've kind of always been that guy that people just felt comfortable coming to talk to. Whatever they had an issue, if they were dealing with something heavy, they wanted to get off their chest, they wanted to look for advice, whatever it was, I was that guy. And I think a lot of that was going back to what my earlier share about my mom talking too goddamn much. Through that, I learned how to process that. I learned how to give good feedback. I learned how to kind of let people air out whatever they needed to and kind of reciprocate it in a way that made them feel better, that made them feel okay going through whatever they were dealing with. Because, you know, we had so many of those conversations. We had so many of those at-bats dealing with stuff like that growing up. I got really, really good at that, and I've always felt comfortable. Because that's the big thing. Like, if you try to talk to somebody, but they're not comfortable accepting what you're saying, then you're not going to want to talk to them anymore, right? So I've always kind of been that guy that people have just been naturally, genuinely comfortable coming to. I mean, there are other reasons, of course, too, but that's, like, a big one that I kind of learned from my mom. And, you know, the relationship that we had kind of helped build that to where it is. But also, my mom was probably the most, how do I even put this? She fearlessly cared for others. She might not have ever met anybody, but she would like give her life to protect them on a bus if she had to, type shit. Mm-hmm. Right? She would see a young black man on the subway or a damn gang of Crips outside my apartment in Brooklyn when she walking back from the train, and felt like it was her job to make sure that they were okay, to make sure that they had whatever they needed, and if they didn't, try to find a way to get them what they wanted and what they needed. So, like, with me, I, circling back to the last question, I buy shit for myself when I need to and I want to, without hesitation, and then figure it out later. But also, I'm a very selfless giver, and I feel better doing for others than I do for myself because of how she was, because of seeing that interaction with her, and as she would always say, her people. Right? She probably said the phrase, "Those are my people," more than she said, "Hey, son," right? And everybody was her people. She would never know them, but she just was like, look, if somebody's struggling, she was very religious, But in her later years, she fell out of love with organized religion. But she never got any less religious. So she always felt like, you know, she was trying her best to walk down the path that Jesus did and, you know, make sure that her life was a blessing to other people. I mean, I always just try to do that. Even, you know, thankfully during the pandemic, I had, you know, steady employment. I was financially secure. So I was in a place to help other people when they were struggling. But even, you know, before, you know, I kind of got on my feet after I moved to New York, if somebody needed something, I was just going to find out a way to help them get it, right, type of a thing. And that was all from her. Jordans aren't a need, and I don't like Jordan. I don't really support him like that. So I'll buy some Nikes, goddamn. But, no, that was like, the real big thing from her. And, of course, the other thing is, I think a lot before I talk in the context of a lot of the stuff my mom would do and say and react about, it was real short-sighted in my eyes. Like growing up, just to give an example, and this is funny, whenever I see my boys from back home, if you survey 10 of my boys from back home, every single one of them could probably mention 5 times that they were banned from my yard forever. And it was over the dumbest shit. Oh, y'all slammed them dominoes too hard. Get out and go home. Like, mom, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's stupid. Like, you're overreacting. So there were a lot of times where she would overreact to things. A lot of the conversations that she would have to me about, you know, either dealing with the church folk, as she would call them, or people at work, I kind of learned how to take my emotions out of decisions, because she made her decisions with all emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So with me seeing that and disagreeing with so much of the shit that she decided, I'm like, okay, I have to find out where that balance is. And on some level, that balance is like 1% emotion and 99% logic. Versus whatever normal is. I'm like, see, the exact opposite of that. Really impacted me a lot.
On that same key, like, I got it reversed. Like, my mom taught me to take the emotions out of everything. If a task needed to be done, it didn't matter how you felt, what was going on around it,
dishes,
what needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? Like, dishes. Like, well, I was feeling, well, okay. Like, get these dishes done. It doesn't care about your feelings. If you think it's fair. If nobody else washes dishes but you, I don't care. Today's your day to wash these dishes. Get these done. We ain't talking about nothing else but these dishes. You know what I'm saying? So I think, she used to always do that. Like, I don't care about your feelings. I don't care what you believe. I don't care about none of that. Like, what needs to be done and what's stopping you from doing it?
Yeah. Fuck your feelings.
Yeah, so, like, man. I guess growing up like that made me just think through everything. And part of, we might bring it up in the next relationship episode, but
you gonna do one of those?
We've been saying we will since the last one.
but coming up on a year,
like 2 years ago.
When I'm dealing with a question that's sensitive in nature, whether it's relationship or whether it's work or whether it's whatever it might be, I'm really going to actually take a considerable amount of time before I answer. And that's because I'm thinking through it. I don't want to just emotionally throw something out there, because I've seen firsthand her do that too often where I didn't agree with it. Right. So I overcompensate too often. So, you know, that definitely does happen. Won't say it's a ideal situation, but, you know, here we are. Kind of a thing.
So to recap, your mother was affiliated. What else?
She personified it takes a village when it boils down to, mm-hmm, like, when did she say her people?
Yeah.
And she would take the bus instead of get rides just so she could
talk.
Just so she could talk to people and stuff like that.
It was the craziest shit. Yeah, I think she woke up every morning envisioning her like carrying on Jesus's feet washing.
Man, don't be wanting
for
to do
real.
That. I don't never want to do that.
Like, no, I'll me neither.
Like I'll witness, I'll evangelize, I'll do all along. Kind of stuff. But I don't feel like washing nobody's feet. Wash your own feet. Let me give you some water.
I don't know about humidity.
Now I did want to ask one question that wasn't on the pre-show thing. What would you guys say, before we wrap it up, what would you guys say is, like, the fondest memory that you have with your mom?
The first 4 years of my life, before AJ came around.
Trash, man. Yo, AJ, I love you, bro.
I think one of my fondest memories, the first thing that came to mind, I won't try to capture one as the fondest, but the one that came to mind was when I graduated basic training in San Antonio, and I didn't know if my mom was going to come or not. I think she sent a letter a little bit before saying, somebody told me she may be coming. So I got through the whole, parade and the whole ceremony of graduating basic training. And then I heard her call my name. I was walking through the crowd with some of my friends, and I heard her call my name, and I was like, whoa, my mom is up in here. So she came to my graduation. And she just looked so proud. She looked so proud. Like, because one of the things I did, she was like, I want one of my kids to graduate from Mill. Like, I'm going to Mill. Let's do that. She always wanted to go to the military. And she was like, when are you going to go to the military? I mean, I didn't do it for that. I just happened to be the one. Mm-hmm. They went to the military, and so she was just so happy that to see me in uniform and to, do all that. So just to see her there, and she drove down. And I was like that. She drove. I was like, yeah, drove from Kentucky. So, but it was good. It was good to see her because because going to basic training, that was the first time I ever got on a plane. Yeah. So it's like, that was my first time really away from home. So, and I was gone for a while. So then it just, at the end of that, to look up and see mom, I was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Seriously, I think for me and when we would go to Saginaw a lot, cause that's where my grandmother's from. And my great grandmother was up there. But there was this little restaurant called Tony's. And we could walk to the restaurant for my granny's house. And it would just be me and her. This is back when I thought Canadian bacon was fancy. And it was just ham. I want that Canadian bacon, mama. but it was just like, I mean, it's kind of funny that I say it the way I did. But it was just like me and her. And just special times. And then now, probably after that, like, seeing her love of travel and us going on family vacations and stuff now as older adults and stuff, I really dig that for sure. But I think I'd have to say us just walking down to Tony's and getting breakfast is some of the best memories for me as far as just like some of my early memories I'm very fond of.
I can't, again, I think Chet had mentioned or said that I broke it up. I can't capture just one, but I'll say going to concerts with my mom. I think that's where I got my love for going to concerts and music. Like, let's see here. Oh, yeah. I think we went to Naughty by Nature concert. Because she was a typical mom who loved the radio song, but didn't quite understand the non-soul radio version of the song. So it wasn't even him, but it was this rapper out called Apache. And he had a song out called I Need a Gangsta Bitch. So
I remember that.
So somehow we ended up working our way to the speakers near the front of the stage. And that song came on, and the rapper was doing the song. And being next to the speaker, and the song popping out. I need a gangster bitch. When my mom's standing right here, I'm embarrassed, and she's like, can't believe what she's hearing. And I just like, let's just walk away. Like, I don't know how to handle the situation, because, like, mom, I shouldn't be here with you because this is a Cool Kid concert, but I'm glad I am. Because that's probably the only way I was going to get there. And, like, from that to jazz festivals, Isley Brothers concerts, you know, like, all that stuff, man. I think, you know, going to those events have definitely been, like, seriously, seriously fine moments with my mom. Like, yeah.
All right. Yeah, with me, mine is it's not one specific event either, but it's the same event kind of repetition, and it would be my high school basketball games. For those that have seen me in action at a K-State basketball game, you know, I act a damn fool, and I'm close to getting kicked out every game. Back when we were in our heyday,
okay,
right on the sidelines.
There you go.
My mom was that minus any sense of any sense of respect for the rules. Let's say, so she would cuss out the refs. She would walk on the court. She would be yelling from the stands. When my brother played football, she actually physically assaulted one of the referees. Yeah, so I got that from my mom.
I can imagine
that. all of my teammates, fuck teammates. Everybody that went to high school with me, they knows my mom is the crazy lady in the basketball games. because she'd be up there making all of the noise. I mean, I don't care how many people was there. She was the loudest person in the state of Ohio that day, making all the noise. And she was just, she was just off the chain. And, like, one thing for me, like, when I was playing on the court, I zoned everybody out, and I didn't even notice who was in the stands. But when I sit on the bench and I look up, then I'm like, oh, this motherfucker is embarrassing the shit out of me. I'm not even in the game, and she about to get kicked out type shit. So, you know, those basketball games were, they meant a lot to me because, one, it was when I would always see my dad, even after they separated my junior and senior year. He made it to every varsity game. He was always up in the stands on the other side, just quiet and chill, where I get my kind of quiet side from. And she was the loud ass, I'm about to get kicked out of this game if this referee don't fucking get his shit together on the sideline. Like, when I run up and down the sidelines, like, talking shit in the referee's ear, I got that from her. So, literally, those are like the memories, the fondest memories I have of my mom, a lot because it was funny as hell, but also because just basketballs always have a real kind of soft spot in my heart for me. Yeah, fellas, but before we leave, I know BJ, his answer to this better be water, Gatorade, or Pedialyte. But what y'all sipping on tonight, fellas?
Man, quality H2O. I'm sipping on water.
I actually haven't had anything. But now that you mention it, the remaining of this water mixed with the adult Pedialyte.
I'm about to say, your water is dark blue. That ain't normal.
Right.
Well, yeah. My version of this episode is not brought to you by Jim Bill Rapine Batch, but I drink it anyway because I like it, and hopefully one day they'll pay me for it.
That's actually pretty good.
But yeah, I like it. Before we go ahead and wrap this up, fellas, Mother's Day. Let me say this, actually, before we give one last word. I just want to say, for anybody out there that, you know, is dealing with a loss on Mother's Day, that has anxiety around Mother's Day, any mothers who may have had situations on their own where it might not be as easy for them, or anybody who just has a rough time with Mother's Day, we're definitely thinking about you, we're praying about you. definitely hope that everything is all right for, you know, again, all the mothers, the aspiring mothers, the soon-to-be mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Take a bow. Give the ladies the roses while they're here. And let's go ahead, fellas, and wrap it up with final thoughts, final statements, anything you have for this Mother's Day episode.
Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies.
Love you, Mama.
Especially
Mother's Day.
My mother and my grandmother. I love you both very, very much. Saved my life in more ways than one. I know those prayers are still saving me.
Amen to prayers.
Amen.
Being growing up in a house where you would wake up
right after that.
To them, wake up to them praying and anointing in the whole house. And it gets to the point where, like, oh, mom's praying again, you know, and go back to sleep. But just knowing that, you know, some of these blessings, some of the pitfalls that I probably, you know, should have fallen in or hasn't, has definitely been because of the faith that they've had and the prayers and everything they've done. So thank you. I love you both.
I love y'all too, man. Shout out to Mama and Grandma.
That's how you do it?
That's it. That's what the kids do.
Hey. I figured it out.
Yeah. Shout out to Mama and Grandma. Also, my stepmothers. Thank you. I don't give you all as much credit as I should. I appreciate you all, you know, being in the line of succession, as my father put you. And I appreciate you all. You know, yeah, I appreciate all mothers.
All others.
Right.
This is the line of succession. Get in line. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. Like, I appreciate all those ladies, man. Like, look, I appreciate my mother and also any other woman who's able to put up with somebody else's child. You know, I absolutely appreciate it. And not just put up with them, but actually show them genuine love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to know what an aspiring mother is, Dre.
That's what a relationship...
people that are trying to have kids that have hopes and dreams and they want to get pregnant, but maybe right now they haven't yet.
Or the ones that are just practicing making kids.
No, I mean, on a serious note, there are a lot of people who want to get pregnant, but due to physical or other reasons, they're just having issues, so they're working towards it.
Though, yes.
Yeah. That's the inspiring. Okay. I just have to be able to... Okay. Now I got it.
Because sometimes you got to ask these questions to understand where he's coming from.
Because you never know.
You never know, right?
Such a jerk. We're trying to get him better, ladies.
I'm a jerk with tact. I have tact. I'm the one on the episode you don't have to apologize for.
On any episode. Apologize for shit.
You gotta apologize for
shit.
You know what I mean?
Wait, now.
BJ doesn't think we have to apologize. Sid, did you already go?
I said what the fuck I said.
For nothing.
You did? JT, you went? Yep, you just went.
Yeah, But I can still talk some more if you want me to.
I don't.
Just ask.
No, I just wanted to, of course, want to say rest in peace, Ma. I love you. I'll strive to make you proud. You left a great example. All of us are working to fill the shoes you and Dad left. So love you for that. And also just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to all of my close family, all of my aunts who've really been there for us and done everything that they can since my mom passed. You guys mean the world to us. We appreciate you. Happy Mother's Day to all of them, all of the family. It really does take a village. There are a lot of people out there that might not have kids, but they're still filling the motherly role. So I appreciate all of those in my lives that did that. And all those out there that are doing that for other people too. But on that note, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We really appreciate for y'all coming. ladies, enjoy your Mother's Day this weekend. And we will be back with BJ hosting the next set of episodes coming up soon.
Yeah, I didn't
agree this
that.
This has been Dre,
BJ,
Seth,
and JT.
And we out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.